James chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which they shall be so great, and are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire and world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Brother Rick, would you up some prayer tonight? Pray for me. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I hope this is a help to you tonight. I'm not here to make you mad. I'm just here to preach what the Bible says. I know James is usually not the easiest thing to swallow. Lord preaches this to me first before I give it to you. It's just as much as for me as it is for everybody else. I'm not pointing fingers. James here usually hits us right between the eyes almost every time, and he'd probably do the same tonight. I'm not going to lie about it. James himself even addresses this in the beginning of the chapter, how it's for everybody. None of us can get it right most of the time. So far in James, we have seen that James is teaching us how to be mature Christians. That's what James is doing this whole time, and teaching us how mature Christians react, how they react, and how they act to different things. We looked at the Christian and his battles, those trials and those temptations. We looked at the Christian and his Bible. We looked at the Christian and his brethren. Last week, we looked at the Christian and his beliefs. And today, we're going to start into chapter number 3. Look at the Christian and his behavior. And this is a big one. It's a big one we can all learn from. It's going to go through chapter number 4, but I'm not going to cover all that tonight. The idea of the Christian and his behavior is a big thing. We all need to understand this tongue, and later on talk about the mind and different things. A lot we can learn from. Tonight, we're just going to go down through verse number 12 and look at that tongue and how powerful and dangerous that tongue can be. The rest of this chapter, you know, different things, but that's what we're going to focus tonight. You see the danger of the tongue. Christian and his behavior, and how he behaves with his tongue. The danger of the tongue. In the verse number 3, chapter number 3, verse number 1, James starts out here, just a little introduction. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." James starts off with a warning against those who may be false prophets or false teachers who have decided in themselves to be a teacher or a preacher. He says, "Be not many masters." In other words, not everybody can be the teacher. In his day, even currently in ours, there are many men, even women, standing claiming to be called of God to teach and to preach the Scriptures, when if they just read their Bible, they wouldn't be qualified for it in the first place. Not everyone is called to preach. Not everyone is told to be a teacher. Not everyone can be a teacher. He continues. James does continuing, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The position of a teacher or a preacher comes with a great deal of responsibility. You stand, you teach, you preach the Scriptures, you're going to have to answer to God for every word that comes out of your mouth, every idle word. That's why you better make sure you're lined up with this Bible, not some other man's words or other man's beliefs, lined up with the Word of God, because you're going to answer to God for what you say. It's not about our opinion, not about my opinion. It's about what the Bible says, not about my opinion. We have to be careful. We will answer for what we say. James says, "Be not many masters." He says, we receive the greater condemnation. The Lord's going to judge those masters, those teachers. James says, don't all try to be teachers because the position comes with greater condemnation. It's not all fun and games. There's a great responsibility that comes with it. Be careful. I'm telling you here, there's several men that have taught here. If you get up here, I challenge you to make sure you know what you're saying. Be careful what you say. Make sure you line up with the Bible. Not because of me, because you're going to have to answer to God for it. Why is James saying this? Because he's about to get into dealing with the tongue and how much damage that tongue can do, and especially how much damage that tongue can do if it's in front of the church, which damage it can cause if you speak out of line, speak against the word of God. James warns against it. He gets into this lesson more. Not only the false teacher, he goes into the tongue itself. Number one, we have a divine standard to follow with this tongue. Verse 7, verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. It's a very true statement. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. In many things we believe all. We offend all, excuse me. How true a statement is that? In many things I offend all, whether I want to or not. I usually offend somebody somewhere. If any man offend not in word, James says, that's a perfect man. If he does not offend with his word, does not offend ever with his tongue, James says, that's a perfect man. There's only one man in James's life that he could look back on and say, that man did not offend in word. That man was perfect. There's only been one man in entire history that's ever happened. Of all the Jews and the leaders James is no doubt in contact with, all the spiritual leaders of his time, there's only one that he said could tame his tongue, the man that was perfect. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he says there's a perfect man. There's only been one of those. It's James' brother, Jesus Christ. Imagine growing up with your brother who never got in a fight with you, who never argued, never said anything cross or wrong to you. Jesus was always right, never offended with his tongue, never said anything wrong. James says that man was perfect. The man, of course, was Jesus, the only one that could say he had always had perfect control of his tongue. There's only been one man that could say that, Jesus Christ, perfect man, he had control of his tongue. We have a divine standard to try to live up to. We claim to be Christians. That means we are to be Christ-like. In other words, this is our standard to follow. I can promise you none of us are ever going to follow that. We're never going to match that. We can try our best to get there. Our goal ought to be like him. We will never live up to it. It ought to be what we aim for. That's our standard. That's our plumb line to build our lives off of. Jesus Christ, the one perfect man. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body, James says. It's a powerful thing. We have a divine standard to live up to, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I haven't got there yet. I have a lot to learn. I've already messed it up. I've offended with my tongue before. I'm not perfect. We have a lot to live up to. We see a divine standard. Number two, we see the devastating tongue. The tongue is unbridled. And it says, verse number 3. James here is going to give us 3 different distinct illustrations on this tongue and the damage that it can cause and how powerful it is. I'm just going to go follow along with what he's saying here. Go verse by verse, illustration by illustration, and give you what James says. Verse 1 he gives in verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Into verse number 2, he talks about bridling the whole body. Now in verse 3, he's carrying on illustration, talking about the bit and the bridle, controlling the horse, comparing the tongue to a bit in the horse's mouth. Men will take a young horse and they'll break him. They have to break him by his own will and teach him to follow that rider, follow the bit in his mouth. They have to be taught that. And depending on which side of that bridle is pulled, that's the way the horse will go every time. These huge creatures, average weight of a horse, I looked it up because I didn't know. They're big. The weight of most horses that people ride is anywhere from 800 to 2,200 pounds. We can control that huge creature with a small piece of metal bit in the horse's mouth and a couple straps of leather. The tongue is the same way, James says. Such a small part of our body, such a small little seemingly insignificant muscle in our body, it can turn and control the entire thing. One little, just like a bit in horse's mouth can turn the whole horse, a little tongue in our mouth can turn our whole lives around, upside down sometimes. And continue on, verse number 4, another illustration. Verse 4, it says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Here's one we can all relate to here, probably more than a horse. This huge ship tossed with the wind is all controlled by a small helm, one small captain, and a small rudder. You've probably heard the story of the Bismarck. I'm not going to give you a big history lesson tonight. Thinking of the Bismarck German battleship, it was sank because of the rudder. The plane suddenly shot the rudder out. Boat circled there in the middle of the ocean, circled in a big circle. British there were coming to destroy it. Giant ship, biggest, huge, powerful ship, strongest and fastest ship of his time, destroyed because the rudder was knocked out. James talks about the helm. The helm controls the rudder. These giant ships controlled by such a small helm, such a small thing, yet it can destroy the entire ship. One man can steer the giant ship wherever he wants, just a small helm. So goes the tongue. One little word can steer the whole thing, a sail, or it can steer the whole thing into the ground. It can get you where you're going, or it can ruin you. One small part of the body can ruin the whole thing. The tongue is powerful. Controls the horse, controls the ship. Verse number 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is such a little small member of the body. He said, and boasteth great things. That is pretty self-explanatory. Such a small little part and boasteth great things. It talks a big talk. It talks big. It boasteth. But it's weak, not strong to back itself up. Your tongue will get you in trouble. It'll say stuff, and you have to back it up. It'll get you in trouble. An unbridled tongue is a dangerous weapon. It puts you in a position you don't want to be in, and you have to fight your way out of it. But boast of itself. Be careful. Guard your tongue. Watch your mouth. Bridle your tongue. He continues on with the illustration, verse number 5. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Believe it or not, how great a matter there. It talks about a forest. You look that word up, matter. It talks about a forest. A great forest fire is what it's talking about. You look that word up, that matter there. It means a great fire. It means a forest fire. All from a small little fire, like a tongue. It doesn't take much to get the blaze going. Interior Alaska is a pretty good example of that. The fires they've had in the past. We were up there 2 years ago. You can see that devastation from the fires. And even this past year is a little bit worse. See the smoke covering for miles from just starts with a little small spark. It doesn't start out as a forest fire, starts out as a small spark and creates tons of damage. The same way with our tongue. We may not start out planning to cause a bunch of trouble, cause a bunch of damage. One wrong word, pretty soon it's like a whole forest is on fire. You don't believe that, then watch it. The next time you men stick your foot in your mouth for your wife and say something wrong, one wrong word can start a whole forest fire. Be careful. You can write that down. It's important. Unbridled tongue can get you in a world of trouble. So the verse number 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue itself is that fire that can start a blaze. It is a world of iniquity, James calls it. That just means a whole bunch of trouble. Right there at the beginning, we see the trouble of the tongue. There in the Garden of Eden, the beginning of time, started out with trouble of the tongue. The serpent beguiled Eve with his tongue. Eve used her tongue to tempt Adam. Adam, after God confronted him, Eve blamed the serpent with her tongue. Adam blamed the Eve and blamed God with his tongue. Their son Cain, he started lying and causing trouble at the beginning. He said he didn't know where Abel was. Am I my brother's keeper? Again, trouble with his tongue after he killed his own brother. The tongue got Abraham in trouble multiple times. He lied about who his wife was. He got Moses in trouble. Got David in trouble. On and on and on in the scripture. You can trace and find trouble starts with the tongue almost every time. It's a dangerous thing, a world of iniquity, James calls it. He continues on that verse, so is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So is the tongue among our members and defileth the whole body. The tongue is a very small member, very small part of the entire body, but it can defile the whole thing. You say something wrong, people don't blame your tongue. They blame you. They don't get mad at your tongue. They get mad at you. You say something wrong, it's not your tongue's testimony is ruined. It's your own. A small member can defile the whole body. Watch your tongue, church. It's a fire, James calls it. James says it sets on fire the course of nature. A circle of life is what that means. A normal motion of life. It can set it all on fire. Turn upside down. It can ruin a life. Your mouth, if not controlled, your tongue, if not controlled, if not bridled, it can ruin lives. You better learn how to control it. I've seen trouble in the house of God. They all stem from somebody slipping up and saying something they didn't mean to say. Slip of the tongue. Now, one slip of the tongue can cause families to get out of church. It can cause churches to split. It can mess up homes, mess up marriages, mess up churches. All from one little small member of the body called the tongue. It's a dangerous weapon. Well, I just need to speak my mind. Well, I just need to speak my peace. You need to bridle your tongue. Be careful. It's a fire. Can consume. You can't take it back. James said it is set on fire of hell. It was filthy tongues that hung Jesus to the cross. people saying they didn't need to saying what they didn't need to say, forces of hell behind it. The devil can get you to use your tongue and say things you didn't mean to say. He has won the battle. That's what he's trying to do. Be careful. You say, preacher, you're taking this pretty seriously. We get it. I have not been around for a long time, but I've already seen damage that can be done from the tongue, different places, more than you realize. The tongue can do more damage than you realize. It hurts. It harms. It reveals what's inside. Nowadays, we don't even have to use our tongue. Many times, we use our thumbs instead. It gets more trouble in your tongue many times. People have more courage hiding behind the screen, hiding behind the keyboard than you do face-to-face. Be careful what you say. We have a false sense of courage many times doing it that way. The unbridled tongue, it's a dangerous thing. It's a fire. James said it is set on fire of hell. It's a dangerous thing. You got to learn to bridle it. Attempt to bridle it. Hold your tongue. Learn to bite it. Not everything that pops in your head should come out your mouth. There should be something there that stops it. Think about it first before you let it come out. Some things shouldn't be said. Bridle your tongue. You see the damage there, the unbridled tongue. You see the damage from the untamed tongue. Verse number 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. James says we have tamed every other creature, every kind of beast, every bird, every serpent, everything in the sea. James says we can tame those. We train our pets to live indoors. Normally, wild creatures, we as humans train them to be domesticated creatures. Even wild animals, many people train to do tricks and obey commands. Yet, in verse number 8, for the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We can tame all these creatures. We can control them and tell them what to do and make them obey. But when it comes to a little muscle inside of our mouth, we can't tame it. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We can try all we want, but we will never completely have it under control. Does that mean we should just say whatever we want because we can't control it anyway? Quite the opposite. It means we should be on guard 24-7, making sure it's not going to say what it doesn't need to say. Say you have a little puppy inside your house, and you also have new flooring inside your house. And that little puppy is untamed. If it needs to relieve itself, it's going to find the most comfortable spot, and it's going to do that. It's going to claim it for its own, claim its territory. Does that mean that us as the owners, you say, oh, just let it be. It's a dog. It's untamed. Just let it do what it's going to do. That's not what I do anyway. I don't know how you do it at your house. I don't like it. I'm going to be on guard constantly. I don't like having little dogs, puppies in the house because I feel like I can't relax. I'm constantly on guard and checking, what's the dog doing? What is it chewing up? What is it messing up? The same as we should be the same way with our tongue. It's unruly. It's untamed. Well, I would not take this verse and say, oh, it's not tame. It's just a waste of time anyway. It's going to do what it's going to do anyway. You might as well let it. It means we should be on guard all the time, extra careful, always watching, always careful, always guarding what it's doing. A mature Christian, James says, watches his tongue. Verse number 9, again with the untamed tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James says that with the same tongue we are claiming to be Christians and we are cursing men. Talking about God in 1 minute and cussing in the next sentence. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, James says. Very simple, plain to understand. Maybe you've never had this done. When I was a kid, I can remember 2 times in particular, probably more, and my mom literally washed my mouth out with soap. Took the liquid soap and squirted it in my mouth and washed it out, made me spit it on the sink. Nasty, not fun to do, because I need to learn how to control my tongue. I feel like doing the same things as some Christians nowadays. They say something in my mind, I'm shocked the words came out of their mouth. On the other side, I'm mad, I want to go wash their mouth out with soap. Watch what you say, church. You say you're a Christian, you ought to sound like one. You ought not be blessing and cursing coming from the same mouth. Some of people need your mouth washed out with soap. I'm going to go ahead and just going to say it. Some of you do. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be. What more plain teaching do we need? Ought not so to be, James says. Both blessing and cussing coming from the same tongue, ought not so to be. You need to be on guard, learning to tame your tongue. There are times I expect to hear words like that from some people, you know, out in the job place or wherever you are around lost folks. Some you come to expect things like that, foul language, especially in the jobs I've done in the past. You expect it. And as unfortunate as that is, it's just you come to expect it. I don't want to hear it here. I don't hear it from people who claim to be Christians. I don't want to hear it from you. We better know. We know better. We know how to have all blessing and cursing, blessing and cussing. Make it plain and simple. All not come from the same mouth. James says, these things ought not so to be. It's simple, plain, to the point. Blessing and cursing better not come from the same mouth. If it does, James says, you're wrong. These things ought not so to be. I don't know how to put it any plainer than James did. We see the untamed tongue. We see the unredeemed tongue. Verse number 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? We've talked about the danger of the tongue and the damage it can do. We've covered that. Now we ought to tame it. It all boils down these last two verses here, 11 and 12. What is James talking about in these two verses? He speaks of the sweet water and the bitter and the fig and the olive, the salt water and the fresh water. Can't be in the same place. What is his point? Two opposite things cannot take place in the same place, same mouth. The tongue is dangerous, but that tongue does not have a mind of its own. The tongue does not speak unless your brain tells it to, although sometimes I think some people it does. The tongue scientifically does not speak unless the brain tells it to. Sometimes we like to blame it that way. That's just not how it works. It's just a muscle. So what comes out is either ruling from here, the mind, or it's being ruled from what's in here, in the heart. If you're saved, you have two natures, the old sinful flesh nature and the new Holy Ghost-filled spiritual nature, two things living inside of us. The one that's ruling is the one that's going to speak. The one that's in charge is the one that the tongue's going to listen to. You can't have both fresh water and salt water, James says. You can't have both sweet water and bitter. It's one or the other. If your flesh is ruling or is the Holy Spirit ruling, which one is it? One of the two is going to come out your mouth. Our flesh in and of itself is just wicked. Flesh is just the way it is, sin nature. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Our flesh in and of itself is wicked. No good thing lives inside of you. Anything good comes out of you, it comes from the Lord. The Holy Spirit living inside of us. Those who are saved, the Holy Spirit itself can do no wrong. It's the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The flesh can't do anything right. Spirit's not going to do anything wrong. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Which one is ruling? The tongue can only be controlled by one at a time. Which one will it be? You're going to have to make a choice. Sacrifice that flesh. Give in to the Holy Spirit. And let him rule and reign in your life. Paul talks about this many times. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll close out there. Galatians chapter 5. Paul talks about this exactly. It's written there in verse number 16. Galatians 5, 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoke one another, envying one another. Who are you going to let rule in your own day-to-day life? Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, if we're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Act like it. Paul says to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust. Give in to the Spirit. You give in to the Spirit. Follow the Spirit of God. Let God have his will and his way in your life. It's a daily struggle. It's an hourly struggle for me, for all of us. We all struggle with it. We all struggle with our tongue. We'll never control it on our own. You're not going to. James even tells us that. And to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us. James himself said that man cannot tame the tongue. We can't do it on our own. You have to give in and give over to the Lord. Let him have it. Let him have control over it. He can do a much better job than we can. Paul says, walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, if you're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Act like it. Watch your tongue, church. It's a dangerous thing. It can do more damage, do damage quicker than you realize, do more damage than you realize. It's a dangerous thing. Such a small member control the whole body and defile the whole body, James says. Be careful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all these people here. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for those that are listening in. Lord, thank you for this word of God and what we can learn from it. And Lord, thank you for James and what he's teaching us. Lord, I pray us to take it and apply it to our life.